You may wonder, after hearing the events in the last episode, how did a college student get off track and get involved into drug dealing, narrowly escaping jail and murder? In order to make sense of the end result, I have to take you back to the beginning. And to be honest with you, it all started my high school year. I was accepted to college. I went through a couple of situations that made it evident that I needed to leave home and refresh my life and start over. After being shot at for being with the wrong person in the wrong area and a couple other situations, I couldn't wait to leave the state. After seeing death at a young age, I became a firm believer that if you believe in God, the universe, or a higher power, the world will show you signs prior to bad situations happening. But you have to be clear-minded enough to pay attention to those signs, because in a blink of an eye, one good situation could change your life for the better, and with the same breath, one wrong decision could change your life forever, or even end your life. Back during this time, this old saying will always repeat in my brain: don't block your blessing. Well, sometimes blessings can come in the form of an opportunity. Opportunities can be more valuable than any set amount of money, especially if you put your best foot forward while presented with said opportunity. For me, having a large family of 12 aunties and uncles and tons of cousins, I had attended so many funerals before and during elementary school, either due to family members being killed, suicide, cancer, or even death of old age. By the time I was in high school and really understood that these deaths were actually tragedies that created and caused trauma, going to funerals registered in my developing brain as normal. The visual of each face in a casket cemented in my memory caused me to become so numb that the opportunity to go to college was a blessing in multiple ways. Not just an opportunity to better myself, but a form of escape, to have some mental stability and peace from unnecessary environmental stress, but also to escape the gray cloud of death. By the time I reached 12th grade, I had already experienced my parents getting divorced when I was a child around the second grade. During their divorce process, me and my older sister moved to St. Louis, Missouri for a year or so. Then I returned back to Michigan to deal with the visitation process. Then around 6th and 7th grade, my parents got back together so the kids could be raised with both parents in the same household. This is also the same year I joined a gang called Gangsta Disciples that later on changed to Growth and Development. Some assume growing up in a two-parent household automatically means that the kids are privileged or in the best mentally stable environment. I do love my parents, even though we had a rocky relationship. My dad was a hustler and an entrepreneur who owned his own businesses. My mom worked at the post office from a teen until she reached the postmaster position and eventually retired. My parents did the best that they could do. They taught me about business, morals and principles, the streets. Plus, I learned from a lot of situations and actions that I deemed as mistakes and promised myself at a young age that I wouldn't grow up and duplicate. So mix all the deaths with the consistent friction between my parents' relationship plus my behavior made it an environment I couldn't wait to get away from, no matter what the escape was. Even if it was a temporary escape through weed and alcohol. I'm pretty sure at some point my parents couldn't wait till I was going out the house either. So really, in hindsight, the main reason why I wanted to go to college didn't just include furthering my education, even though it was presented that way. So unfortunately, in some ways, I wasn't properly prepared mentally to attend college, even though I knew it was a great opportunity as a young black in America not to be deemed as a failure. Being a black male going off to college is an accomplishment on its own, but it was looked at so much like an accomplishment, in some ways I failed to realize going to college is just the first step. It's a lot of work to be done, and a whole process of determination and discipline to complete college on top of being in the real world for the first time on your own. So let's go back to my senior year. My senior year started off exciting, just like any other 12th grader having one more year of high school left. I didn't have any room to fail not one class. During the fall semester of 1998, I applied and was accepted to go to Alabama A&M University. And at different random points of the year, it felt like the universe was working hard against me to not make it to college. I can't just blame the universe. I also have to hold myself accountable for my actions, lack of care, bad decision making, and allowing my social life to become more important than creating a foundation for my future. The school I went to, if you reach 9 absences in one class, you automatically fail that class. And senioritis hit me pretty hard with partying and skipping certain classes to attend graduation-related events. As the middle of the spring semester was approaching, my English teacher told me that I had 11 missed days. Even though I had a C+ in her class, she had to fail me. I could have shit on myself when I heard that information. But hearing that news, I wasn't thinking about if this is going to stop me from graduating on time in May of 1999, but this is going to add more tension in the house for all hell to break loose once my parents found out. So every day I was holding this secret in, smoking and drinking alcohol more than usual, in the attempts to forget about this problem till I had to face it. The bell rings to the last hour of school. I grab my book bag and go outside to the parking lot. When I get outside, I see like 6 or 7 of my homies all in the crowd looking hype. So I walk up to see what was going on. They start telling me that at some point during the school day, one of my friends named Jay almost got into a fight with a guy named Richard, but the school police and security broke it up. Let me give you a little background on Jay. Jay was one of the first people that I met when I moved out here to this new city, and he also went to that alternative school. A couple years prior, he had got locked up and had to go to a juvenile facility for a year. And right before he went to that juvenile facility, his girlfriend ended up getting pregnant with his child. So now they're telling me about Jay and Rashad almost fighting. I asked why. Apparently, while Jay was in jail, Rashad was messing with Jay's baby mama while she was still pregnant. And Jay didn't like it. And ever since he got out and came back to school, him and Rashad really never really liked each other. Rashad was being cocky about it, going around telling people that he had sex with Jay's baby mama and throwing it in Jay's face. So that day, Jay approached Rashad about what he had been saying. And somewhere in that argument, Rashad said to Jay, "That's why I bust a nut on your baby head." And Jay went ballistic. But the teachers and the school police got there and broke it up. As we were talking, Jay walks up with no shirt on, pissed, waiting to see if he would see Rashad coming out of the school. A few minutes later, Rashad comes out of the school with maybe 4 or 5 of his friends. Jay automatically took off running in their direction. So we did as well. When we all got face to face, we had announced that this would be a one-on-one fight, and both sides agreed to this. Rashad took off his shirt. As soon as he took one step towards Jay, Jay hit him so hard with a right hand, you could see Rashad's knees buckle. And as he was falling, Jay picked him up from the waist and slammed him on the cement. Rashad's friends wasn't accepting seeing him get beat up like that. So they tried to jump in to rush Jay, but we all jumped in, and now it was one big brawl. As we are fighting, a crowd slowly starts surrounding us. Maybe a minute or so went by, you started hearing people yelling, "Security is coming." So everybody took off running back to the parking lot. I definitely couldn't get caught. I had just got this news from my English teacher. Plus, I was just returning back to public schools from an alternative school, so I couldn't afford to get suspended. So we ran back to the parking lot. We got in one of my friend's truck and he took us home. On the ride home, the driver had some weed called Gan. Gan is some very strong weed, so I bought some and got dropped off at home. Once I got home, I noticed that I didn't have any cigarillos to smoke my blunt in, so I found some joint paper. I rolled up a very small joint and went into my backyard to smoke. We had a non-functioning van that stayed in our backyard, so I would get in it and smoke. I lit up that joint and maybe took 3 or 4 hits and was high. I go back in the house to go back to my room. Maybe 10 or 15 minutes went by. Everything started moving in slow motion. I was tripping. It seemed like every second that went by, I was getting higher and higher. So I tried to go to the kitchen to get something to eat. I could barely make it to the kitchen, so I went and laid back down. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if the weed was laced or what. I felt like I was about to die. So I grabbed a notebook and wrote a little letter to my parents, thinking that I was going to die. And I wanted someone to get some retaliation for selling me some laced weed or something to kill me. So I wrote the letter and laid it next to me on the bed and laid down for a second. Eventually, my heart got to beating so hard, I called one of my cousins and told him what was going on. He sped over to the house, probably got there in 10, 15 minutes. He grabs the bag of weed, looks at it, smells it, rolls some up, and went outside to hit it. And he came back in, dying laughing at me, saying, "Nah, this just some good weed. You tripping, you need to sleep it off." So my cousin leaves, I stay at home and sleep it off for a few hours. When I woke up, I got a call from one of my friends wanting to go downtown for some graduation related events. It's supposed to be tons of people from all over the city downtown celebrating from their schools that they're graduating. So I was down with it. So I told my friend, "Let me wait till my mom get home to see if I can use her car. And if so, I'm gonna come out and we can all meet up." My mom gets home around 6:30 p.m. She asked me how my day was. I told her it was fine and kept the conversation real brief. I told my mom that it was some senior events going on that I wanted to go to. Was it okay to use her car? And she told me yes, but she also told me, "Don't get too loaded where you're not able to make it back home safe." So I told her thank you and went back to my room to freshen up to get ready to go out for tonight.
Yeah, nigga, I'm still fucking with you. Still waters run deep. Still Snoop Dogg and D.R.E. Nah, nigga, guess who's back? Still doing that shit, Andre? Oh, for sure. Yeah.
An hour or so passed by. Then I leave out to meet everybody that's going downtown. It's probably about 3 cars full of us. And on our way downtown, we stop at the liquor store to get some liquor, beer, cups, and ice. We finally make it downtown. It's people everywhere, girls everywhere, from all over the city and different schools. At some point during the night, we run out of liquor. So we decide to go back to the liquor store and buy one more fifth of Remy VSOP, some more ice and cups. I couldn't tell you when the last time I put some food on my stomach. I was getting a little hungry, but I was just as drunk as any other night, so I was perfectly fine. We get back in our separate cars and head back downtown to Belle Isle. When me and my cousin got back in my vehicle, we didn't have the cups or ice, so we started taking shots directly from the bottle. A few minutes later, we arrive at our destination. It's maybe 12, 1 o'clock in the morning now. I get out the car and feel slightly dizzy, but it goes away. I think to myself, maybe I stood up too fast, or maybe I do need to put some food on my stomach. As we're out there playing music, talking shit and having fun, cars driving by real fast, one of my friends walks up and asks, "Do we have any weed to smoke?" Everybody said no. He looks to me to ask, "Did I have any weed for sale or to smoke?" I say no, but I know where to get some at. So we stay downtown for maybe another half an hour. But I noticed everybody stopped drinking. I was the only one still taking shots directly from the bottle. Now I'm starting to feel a little hungry, and I know they want to go get some weed. So I ask them, "Are y'all ready to go?" Everybody like, "Yeah." So we get back in our cars and leave out. But this time I'm in the car by myself, and everybody followed behind me. We get on the freeway and I'm speeding, but I'm up listening to music, feeling good. The exit comes up to get off the freeway. So I get over a lane to the right and get off the freeway and get stopped at a red light. I'm sitting there bobbing my head to the music, chilling, but getting a little relaxed. So I turn the music up a little bit louder to keep me awake. The light turns green and I pull off. For a split second, I look down at the radio to change the song. And that was the last thing I remember. I passed out behind the wheel. The next thing I remember is hearing my friend Trey calling my name. "Doc, Doc, are you all right? He was on the driver's side of the car trying to open the door, but it wouldn't open. I could hear Trey still saying, Doc, are you all right? As he's walking around the car to the passenger side. I can hear the door getting pulled on repeatedly until it finally opened, and Trey pulls me out the passenger side door. Now my adrenaline is rushing. He has my right arm around his neck and his shoulder pulling me up, trying to get me to stand on my feet. My left knee was like jello. I couldn't apply any pressure to my left leg or knee. It was totally destroyed. Now everything is blurry, with little specks of bright shaped lights shining into my eyes. I finally become coherent enough to look at the car and see it was wrapped around an electricity post. All my weight almost collapsed, but luckily Trey was holding me up from falling. So him and a couple of guys helped walk me back to Trey's truck, and he drove me back to his parents' house. The last thing I remember thinking was, damn, my mom's car is totaled, and passed out for the rest of the drive to Trey's parents' house. It seemed like the longer I was holding this secret in, the more bad situations was happening. I needed to rest and heal, plus tell my parents the truth and have a fresh restart on life and try to go in the right direction. I stayed at Trey's house for a few days. When I came home, at some point I finally told them the truth, and of course, all hell broke loose. So I end up leaving the house and staying at a friend named Mo's place for a month or so. The month of May comes, now the class of 99 is about to graduate, and as you already know, I didn't. So everything was pointing towards I was going to have to get my GED. Luckily, my high school already knew I had received the acceptance letter from Alabama A&M, and they didn't want me to miss that opportunity to go to college. So they arranged a meeting with my parents and now to discuss what options were available. The only options I had was to go to this new program that they had at a community college to take the classes that I failed. And if I passed all of the classes, I could still receive my regular high school diploma instead of a GED. But I wouldn't be able to start college in August of 1999. I would have to start college in January of 2000. So I sent a letter to Alabama A&M and told them in brief that to better prepare myself for college, I needed to take some extra courses and work and get a job before coming to school. And if it was okay, I would attend in the spring. I sent that letter in the mail. Maybe a month and a half later, I received a letter in the mail from A&M with another acceptance letter for the spring. By this time, I was probably halfway healed and things was finally lining up where I had the opportunity to try to make it to school. By this time, I was maybe 50% healed, and the plan to try to make it to college was back looking good. So I slowed down on almost everything, even my social life, so no negative energy or situations could appear to block my final chance to go to college. Once I got about 80% healed, I got a job at a Cadillac repair shop, saved up some money to start buying hella clothes and shoes for school, completed the few classes I needed to take, and graduated in December of 1999. No prom, no walk across the stage, no nothing. The day Christmas break started was my last day of class. And on that last day, they told me my grades that I was passing, and that was it for me for high school. And with everything that had went on this whole year, I didn't even want to party and celebrate that. So I just kept working until it was time for me to head down to Alabama. When it got closer to the day for me to leave to go to college, I started packing up and getting ready. The week before I left Michigan to go to Alabama, secretly I bought a quarter pound of weed to take with me just to smoke and relax my anxiety, because I was going to a place I had never visited before. Before getting on the freeway to head to Alabama, my dad wanted me to see my grandmother before we left, because she was up in age and we didn't know if this would be the last time me seeing her alive or not. So I turn around and take a look at the house for the last time, and we pack up my dad's truck and we hit the freeway. It was too late to turn back now. I could sense the excitement from my mom and dad on the way down to Alabama. And inside, I was happy, yet nervous too. But all in all, I finally made it. I'm about to start college.